Your attention, please. The Walt Disney World Railroad, now boarding for a scenic trip around the Magic Kingdom. Board!
All right, Brad. Last week, it only took us 1 hour to get through 3.5 days of my vacation, so let's jump right back in.
Yeah, let's get this done. I don't need this to be the, you know, missing the mouse, now all about one trip to Disney or anything.
Wednesday and Thursday were our Hollywood Studios days. So Wednesday we got up and this was... So we got to take the Skyliner to Epcot on Saturday and we did not get to use it Sunday or Monday. And then we got to use it again Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. So like... It was a real bummer any day we didn't get to use the Skyliner.
Because then so, you had to ride a bus like a commoner.
I will say the Hollywood Studios line is not as fun because it's so much shorter. But the Epcot line, you know, is long because you take it to Riviera and then to the Turn Station and then to Epcot. So, I don't know, it's a lot more fun to go to Epcot, but... It was certainly convenient to go to Hollywood Studios.
I was about to say, you know what's fun about Hollywood's about the Hollywood Studios line? Not having to be on a bus to go to Hollywood Studios.
And the Skyliner station is like way closer than the bus stops now.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, with the moving that they did of the bus stops are like twice as far as the Skyliner station. So definitely recommend taking the Skyliner. So this day in Hollywood Studios, we basically tried to get everything we wanted to done because at this point in our vacation, we thought we were going to have to come back the next day, which was the opening of Rise of the Resistance. And we thought we were going to have to rope drop the park and like run. And so we decided.
And then go wait in line for 7 hours because that's the way it felt like things were going to have to go for this.
Right. Yeah. We thought the whole day two was going to be Rise. So. We went and just did like everything. We rode Tower and Star Tours and Slinky Dog Dash and everything. Smuggler's Run, like so. We crammed pretty much all of Hollywood Studios into one day, and it really wasn't that bad. It was strange
because that's a half day park.
How doable it was. So my first. It was our first time going into both Toy Story Land and Galaxy's Edge. We were not able to enter Galaxy's Edge through Toy Story Land on Wednesday. They had the Toy Story Land was exit only. We went into Toy Story Land and kind of walked around. That land is great. Toy Story Land is very well thought out. It's very well laid out. It feels so much bigger than it actually is. They put Slinky Dog Dash right up front. Like you see it as soon as you walk into the land, and it's like it's such a cool centerpiece for that space. I love the new entrance for Midway Mania. Just everything about Toy Story Land was really cool. You know, the really, really big, you know, Midway Mania queue style stuff, the toys, the Kinects and Lincoln Logs and everything.
Basically, being shrunk down throughout the whole land instead of just through the one queue.
Right. It's super cool. While we're talking about Toy Story Land, Slinky Dog Dash, and you had told me it was very good. And that's kind of where my knowledge of Slinky Dog Dash stopped. It is a really good roller coaster.
You were really putting me on the edge of my seat here because you told me it was really good.
And I didn't seek anything else out about it. I hadn't watched any ride videos. I hadn't done anything. It's really good. It is definitely kid friendly, but it is not for kids. You know what I mean? Like it's definitely a family roller coaster, but it was not built for kids.
It's not Goofy's Barnstormer, essentially, is what you're saying.
It's got some thrills. It's got like a lot of really unique aspects to it. The second launch, especially, is really fun. So I highly recommend Slinky Dog Dash. It is another thing that, you know, normally has a 60 to 90 minute wait. I would say that it's worth that to ride. And we definitely waited an hour for it. I think we got to ride it three times that trip. And I think the last time we waited an hour for it, and it was super worth it.
So what'd you think of the alien U-Hauls?
We did not do Swirling Saucers.
Oh my gosh, you had 2 days in that park and you did not do Swirling Saucers.
We didn't want to. We could have. We didn't want to. It's just a spinning around thing.
It's just, do you not like, is it the spinning around that you don't like? Or?
It just doesn't, it's no of no interest to me. Like, I looked at that and did not look fun or anything. So I did not give it a fair try or anything. Like, it just did not look interesting. Claire doesn't do spinning, so I would have had to do it by myself. But I have no problem with riding something by myself. It just was not interesting.
Well,
did not seem
fun. I feel like doing that by yourself would probably be less fun. It's just interesting to me because for me, the completionist part of me says, well, I have to go do that, even if it's not something. Now, I will say, you know, that doesn't extend to I don't have to. In Magic Kingdom, I'm probably not going to do Dumbo every trip. But now if I was done with everything else and Dumbo was there, I would go do Dumbo or Astro Orbiter or, you know, whatever. But yeah, because that park has, you know, and now two more attractions, but so few attractions, I usually, the last few times I've been, I've made sure that I did Swirling Saucers just because it was there and I'd done everything else.
Yeah.
So
I didn't,
it's just, it's surprising
to
me. Gotta catch them all, man.
And then we did Midway Mania, still super fun. It was actually down almost all of Thursday. So I'm glad we did do that Wednesday because it was broke.
Well, it's not like Thursday was busy or anything. So they didn't need a huge people eating attraction on that day to help with anything.
We ate at Woody's Lunchbox. We got potato barrels. We tried the tachos. So we got the potato barrels with Fritos and chili and cheese, and they were really good. I mean,
so did you go up and order like a commoner, or did you just, or did you mobile order?
Mobile.
There you go.
We mobile ordered everywhere where it was possible. We mobile ordered.
Isn't mobile ordering wonderful?
It is the best. Even if you're there already, like even if you're in the restaurant, you go find a seat and mobile order. It doesn't make any difference to the wait time probably, but you can just go sit at your table, order your food, and then they'll just tell you when it's ready instead of waiting in line for your food or to order and then waiting for your food to be ready. You can just like sit. It's amazing. Innovative Disney. Innovative.
Yep, they were the first ones that ever came up with that idea.
So that day we also did Galaxy's Edge. And oh my gosh, it is overwhelming to walk into that place. Like, the theming, and everyone has talked about it, and I'm not saying anything new, and we don't have to spend a lot of time on it, but oh my gosh. It is like another level in Galaxy's Edge. Like, it is like nothing else at Disney. It is like nothing else I've ever experienced. You walk out of Muppet Courtyard or Toy Story Land and into Galaxy's Edge, and you're in a different place. Like, it's hard to put into words what it's like there. And I loved it. I was bought in immediately. And, you know, it was pretty funny because Claire was like, how do you know what any of these places are? Because there are no signs. Everything is Arabesque. And you just kind of have to know, like, oh, this is the Droid Depot, or this is Oga's, or, you know, whatever, because they don't have a lot of signage in English.
I guess I didn't really think about, that's not, they aren't, I mean, hawking their wares on everything. The signs, like you said, the signage is there, but
but it's all in Arbesh, and you just, you have to know that this hole in the side of this rock is Oga's Cantina. You know, because there's
look,
a door.
You just look for the long line.
Yeah. Well, we went in there, no line. We had reservations, but there was no one waiting. And we got seated at a table with another, with like two other groups, and it was really fun. I was a little worried about sitting at the table, you know, with people we didn't know, but it was super fun. Super nice to sit down with some people we didn't know, and they were, one of the people had a beer. It was like 9 o'clock a.m., you know, and like they were drinking a beer. Somebody had another one of those, you know, alcoholic concoctions, and everybody was just having a good time. We did get both of the breakfast food items. We got the Mustafarian lava roll and the overnight oats. The overnight oats are, I thought that they were gross. Claire likes yogurt a lot more than I do. I don't like yogurt, and it was basically oatmeal in yogurt with fruit on top.
So your opinion of it should be taken with the within the context of you weren't going to like this anyway.
Right. Yeah. I didn't realize that's how it was, you know, put together, but yeah, that's what it was. The Mustafarian lava roll is a cinnamon roll that was not warm. I felt like it should have been warmed.
Wait.
Wasn't.
The thing called a lava roll was cold? Yeah.
Yes. Mm. It was. And so it was okay. I mean, it wasn't great. We ate the whole thing. I ate most of it, I think, but and I got coffee. They had coffee on Batu somehow. So I did get a cup of coffee, and it was pretty good. Yeah, Oga's Cantina was wild. And like we did get, so there's a little bit of show in there. I don't know if you experienced this, but did you experience the power going out?
I did.
Okay. That was real fun.
I didn't want to spoil it for you.
Yeah.
Did you experience the drinking song?
A guy came around and we all yelled, "Hey." Is that the drinking song?
That was one of them.
Okay. Yes. We did that one. I was like, I thought it was really funny when the power went out and you could hear, you know, Rex trying to figure out what was going on and the bartender was trying to figure out what was going on. There was a lot more acting in Galaxy's Edge than I had anticipated. You know, cast members, even service cast members, the bartender at Oga's, the wait staff at Oga's, they're kind of actors, you know, and they're not only doing their jobs, but they're also like world building at the same time. And I thought that was very cool.
And even the, you know, the person who's outside, if you are in line at Oga's or the janitorial staff, like everybody mm-hmm. is having a great time, you know, being on Batu. So. Yeah, I agree. That was good. So you didn't try any of the alcoholic beverages at Oga's?
No, did not. It was too early.
Agree to disagree.
It was 9 o'clock.
Like I said, agree to disagree.
I did my fair share of drinking on this trip, but I just couldn't bring myself to do it at 9 a.m. Other than I tried the blue milk. I did not try any of the alcoholic blue milks or milks. But I did try the blue non-alcoholic milk. Claire hated it. She hated it. I thought it was pretty good. I actually got two glasses of it between the 2 days we were there, but Claire did not like it.
Should have got her some of the green milk.
Yeah, maybe.
You never know. Maybe she's a green milk person.
But see, I didn't want the green
milk. You know, men are from blue milk and women are from green milk.
The issue was she didn't want it, and I also didn't want it. And so if we had paid, you know, $8 or whatever for the green milk and neither of us liked it or wanted it, that would have been a bummer. So
that's a very good point.
I thought the blue milk was pretty good. Much more of an icy than I anticipated.
But is that really a bad thing?
Everyone who is, you know, like all of this stuff is probably common knowledge to Disney people. But I have been on total media blackout for Galaxy's Edge and any of this stuff because I knew I was going and I didn't want any of it to be spoiled. So again, other than what we talked about, I had no idea about anything that was going to happen. And I really, that was like the right thing to do. I did. Oh my gosh. There were so many stormtroopers walking around intimidating people. I loved it. And like, they just, if you were trying to take a picture of them, they would like, you know, say, I'm keeping my eye on you and stuff. I mean, it was great. And then we saw Kylo Ren looking for Rey several times. We never saw Rey out and about. Only working, her and Chewie working on the Millennium Falcon. We did see them while we were in the queue for Smuggler's Run. They were doing some repairs on the Falcon. So that was cool. They just kind of, you know, like emerge from behind the Falcon and are fixing it. Like that was, I really liked that world building stuff. But I guess that brings us to Smuggler's Run, which was excellent. The queue. I know you said the queue was good. I think that's the best queue at Disney. There's so much to look at. There's so much show in that queue that it almost doesn't feel like a queue. And there's like so many views of the Falcon that you don't get, you know, from outside. And there's that engine in there that they're testing. Like everything about the queue is awesome, and it's not interactive, but it's its own little show. So I gotta like hats off to Imagineering for that queue. It's crazy.
So what did you think of your person in charge of procuring your ship for your smuggler run?
Hondo?
Yeah, that dude.
I'm trying to figure out why you're asking me like this. I thought the Hondo Inaka animatronic was awesome.
I was leading you into getting to talk about Hondo.
Okay. I was like, was it a real person? Was it supposed to be a real person? Because it was a robot. No, the Hondo animatronic was great. And again, I talked last week about how I didn't like the video faces on an Elsa and on Seven Dwarfs Mine Train. You don't need them. Like Hondo, his face is so lifelike. I see no reason to do video faces when you can achieve something like Hondo Inaka with actual, you know, physical things, servos and whatnot. So that was a really fun pre-show. Because they do that, I don't know what the lenticular effect is, but they do that effect where it really does look like a window looking out.
Yeah, where you're looking out, yeah.
Uh-huh. And it's very, very successful. The pre-show is just short enough that you don't really have time to inspect anything. Like, you kind of, they did a great job of bringing you into this room, having Hondo introduce the narrative, and then immediately getting you out of the room, at least for us. We didn't hang out in that room very long. And so
that was my experience every time. You know, you might have a little bit of wait in the hallway before you get assigned your, and by a little wait, I mean like 2 minutes, 3 minutes at most.
Yeah.
Depending on where you fell in the group as you exited. But yeah, I never experienced like the door open and you were stuck behind people who were waiting to get their assignments or anything like that.
Right. Yeah. So I thought that was really good because it kept it feeling real. You know, there wasn't really ever a time where Hondo was just standing there like motionless waiting for the show to start again. So that was really good. Claire and I were both engineers the first time we rode it. And then I was a pilot and Claire was an engineer the second time we rode it. She had absolutely no interest in anything but engineering. Like, she did not want to be responsible for our success.
Just hit a button, or fix the ship, yeah, be done.
Yeah. So engineering was fun, but it is definitely a problem that the buttons are on the wall and you have to like look away from the front. But I will say that being a pilot is also very difficult, and you do feel a lot of pressure every time you slam into something.
And you have to really work with that other person.
Yeah. Yeah, luckily when I was a pilot, the guy who was sitting next to me, I was left-right pilot, he was up-down pilot. He got to pull the hyperdrive, you know, light speed thing, which mm-hmm. I wanted to do that. But other than that, I thought Smuggler's Run was really fun. And it wasn't just Star Tours Plus. I was afraid it was just going to be Star Tours Plus and, you know, not really be, I don't know, that much fun. But it was fun. It was pretty cool. And again, they did that lenticular thing where it looks like, you know, you're actually looking out of a window or a cockpit into depth.
So how did you score in the attraction?
I don't remember.
Well, okay, let me ask it to you like this. When you walked out, where it was a bunch of stuff flashing and panels missing and stuff like that, or were you being congratulated?
No, we were never congratulated. we scored high until we had to pay Hondo back. And then, because we damaged the Falcon pretty bad. So there was sparking and we got made fun of for, you know, you better get this fixed before the Wookiee sees. We heard that a lot. But no, we never were congratulated. And we got both times only one thing.
You never got both bills of coaxium?
We didn't get both of them.
Oh, well, something for next time.
Yeah. Oh, another thing I got to do Wednesday. I was in Streetmosphere. Claire and I were watching The Citizens of Hollywood, and Chloe came up and pulled me up, and I was in Streetmosphere. And we sang The 12 Days of Christmas. And it was amazing. It was a dream come true. And I could not be... That was like top five things that happened on this trip. I mean, it was incredible. Citizens of Hollywood's like my favorite thing. And so it was just so much fun. And I will never forget it. It was so good.
Have you added that to your IMDb page yet? Well, first of all, have you created your IMDb page?
You can't make your own IMDb page. Somebody else has to do it for you.
All right. I'll go make your IMDb page. You make my... We're going to Strangers on a Train this.
I don't know what Strangers on a Train means.
Oh, dude. Okay. Moving on, because you're making me sad. You got to be super cool and do Citizens of Hollywood.
I did, yeah. And we had early... So that night we had... Or that day, we had early dinner reservations. So we went over to Springs and ate at Art Smith's Homecoming, which is excellent. If you like fried chicken, which if you don't like fried chicken, you should like fried chicken. But if you like fried chicken, the chicken was very good. The mashed potatoes are very good. They have a cheddar drop biscuit, also very good. And they have a cocktail called Apple Pie a la Mode. And it's apple pie moonshine with vanilla vodka and some other, like, you know, whatever, bitters, I think. But, dude, this thing tasted like apple pie and did not taste like alcohol at all.
Real dangerous.
Yes. And it was moonshine. Like, so it was very high, you know, grain alcohol. But, yeah, there was no alcohol burn at all. It was so smooth and so good, and it tasted exactly like apple pie. Like I could have stayed there all day and drank those. I would have died, but I could have stayed there all day and drank those.
But what a way to go.
Yeah, so good. Oh, and also Art Smith was there, and I acted like an idiot and embarrassed myself, and I have so much shame.
Okay, so you got to be on Citizens of Hollywood.
Yes.
You got to meet Art Smith.
So he walked up.
Or did you actually meet him?
Well, I said hello. So he walked up behind me and asked us how everything was. And so all I could see was Claire looking up and like stammering, trying to find words to say, because she was like eating, you know? And so Art walks up behind me, and Claire's just like, it's great. It's fine. Yeah, it's really good. And I turned around and friggin' Art Smith is standing behind me. And I just went, hey, like an idiot. And that's all I said. And so he moved on. And I'm so embarrassed still.
At least you're not like super into cooking shows and
yeah,
and all about people like Art Smith.
Super into Art Smith.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Specifically.
At least this wasn't like on your bucket list of things to do.
Yeah. And so he was there. And apparently we asked our waiter, I was like, is Art Smith came up to our table? And he was like, oh yeah, he comes here like once a week just to check on things. And he was super cool. He was in the dining room for like 30 minutes. And then he went in the kitchen and said, hey guys, you know, thank you for your time. You're doing a great job. Everyone's happy. I appreciate you all, you know, and left. He's so super cool guy. But man, I acted like a nerd and did not get to say hello, did not ask him for a photo. I was just starstruck and got embarrassed.
Hey,
but yes,
food,
Art
good.
Smith was there.
Food thing.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
Yeah. Like yum food in Tom. So then we went back to Hollywood Studios and were sad for the rest of the night.
Because you beefed it with Art Smith?
Yeah. No. We went to Fantasmic and got there early, got a seat, and got halfway through the show, and something failed. It was as if somebody hit, like, the stop button on the DVD. We were in the villain sequence, where, like, it's cycling through all the villains on the water screens, you know, and all of a sudden, just pause, stop, lights come up. Sorry, folks. This showing of Fantasmic is canceled.
Wow.
And we were so like, I mean,
like,
yeah.
Like, boop, game over. Not, we're going to try to get it back up and running. They mm-hmm. just threw the towel in immediately, huh?
Within 1 minute. Within 1 minute of the show pausing. Because it was like, the video and the audio stopped. And then the projectors went black. And then the lights came up, and then they said canceled. So like within probably maybe even within 30 seconds, it was just done. And then the water screen stayed on. It took us a good 30 minutes probably to get out of that theater because everybody just like was trying to get out, you know, and all of the convenient seating is reserved for dessert party people. So we uh-huh. were on like the way the heck other side of the theater. And so it took forever. And the water screen stayed on almost the whole time. So I don't know what happened, but something in their AV stack clearly died and it caused them to not be able to turn the water screens off.
And it didn't just die. It just really died. Did you ask them if they tried turning it off and turning it back on again?
I didn't. I did walk extremely slowly by the booth, and because there were people in there, and I was just like kind of trying to peek in there and see what I could see, but all I saw was the lighting console. So I guess the people who do the show, their monitors don't face the window, because all I saw was the guy who controlled the lights. And all the lights were working. His screen was all green. Go for lights. But the Fantasmic show just died, and
but
it
not
was
go
so sad.
For literally all the other things. So
yeah, I don't. Yeah, it was just crazy. So we got out of the theater and kind of sulked back to Toy Story Land and rode Slinky Dog again, and then we felt a little better. And the wait was only like 25 minutes because I guess everybody else sulked slower than we did.
Well, they need to learn how to sulk professionally. Then
yeah, be so sad that you walk fast. After that, we were done. That was the end of Wednesday. Like, that was a real bummer. Fantasmic dying. And also, we had to get up at like 5:30 Thursday morning. So we went ahead and went back to the hotel and called it an early night.
That was probably a smart way to do things.
Yeah.
Given what time you were getting up the next day.
Yeah. Okay, so Thursday. the day that we did not, you know, originally plan for, Rise of the Resistance was announced. The opening date was announced after, long after we had planned our trip. We were like 8 months after we planned and booked and everything our trip. They announced when Rise was opening.
And then it was announced and you went, aw, beans, everybody's going to be there.
Our last full day at Disney World. And immediately it was just like, okay, well, the 5th is Hollywood Studios because we got to do this thing. And just let me preface, there will be no spoilers. I'm not going to talk about Rise of the Resistance at all. As a ride.
And somebody who has been listening to us, they listened to our entire last episode, and here we are around 30 minutes into this one, goes, no!
There are
plenty of other places to hear spoilers, I'm sure.
And here's what I'll do. I will talk about it, but I will record something by myself and release it as an addendum to this episode.
Rise of the Resistance. So when you see the Rise of the Resistance spoilers show up on your feed, if you want to hear it, you can listen to Jeremy, because quite honestly, I don't really want to hear you talk about it. Mm-hmm. I'm still holding out hope that somehow I'll get back over there. Right. So yeah, do the dang thing, man. But anyway,
we'll put an addendum out to this with my thoughts on Rise. Okay, so Thursday was probably the best day at Disney that we have ever had. I think we will remember Thursday more fondly than any other day we've ever had at Disney, and here's why. So we both got up. We got up about 5:30. Well, hang on. Let me start before that. Wednesday night, we decided that we were going to take the Skyliner to Hollywood Studios and just see what happens, because we were originally planning to get a Uber or a Lyft over to Hollywood Studios at like 5 a.m. to try to get in line. But both of us decided that putting that much effort into this almost made it not fun, because it was just too much. It was getting to be too much. And so I did the little chat thing in the MDE app while we were waiting for Fantasmic to start, and asked the person when the Skyliner started running in the morning. And they had changed the hours so that Hollywood Studios opened an hour early and the Skyliners started running 30 minutes before the park was supposed to open. So they started running at 6:30, and I believe the opening time was 7. So we just said, we'll get up, we'll get on the Skyliner, we'll just take Walt Disney transportation, we'll see what happens, because it was just getting too intense, and neither of us wanted to make our vacation about that. So we both got up about 5:30, got ready, left our room at 6-ish, and went and got in line for the Skyliner. And we were almost at the front of the line. We were probably 20 people back. And by the time the Skyliner opened at 6:30, there were hundreds of people in line. So we did make it there before most people at Pop.
You made it there before everybody else said, this is what time we're going to get there.
Right. I did, while we were in line, I checked Twitter and saw that people had been backed up onto the freeway at 4 a.m., and Disney had opened the Hollywood Studio parking lot at 4:30 and started letting people into the park at 5. And by the time we woke up at 5:30, people were already in the hub of Hollywood Studios. So in front of the theater, people were already in there. And they ended up opening the park up, you know, like at 5:30. And I don't know how they scrambled the cast members, but they opened Tower and Rock and Roller Coaster at like 6:15 in the morning. When the park was supposed to open at 8. They moved the opening time from 9 to 8. So they opened Tower and Rock and Roller almost 2 hours early. And I don't, like, kudos to them for doing that.
They must have really been planning ahead to have that, to have staffing for those attractions at that time of the,
right?
Because I don't think you just called a bunch of people and said, hey, you feel like coming into work really early today?
Right. So that's also when I learned that they were doing boarding groups. And honestly, that took a load off because I was worried, you know, about having to get there and rope drop and run to the back of the park and wait in line for 4 hours, 5 hours, 6 hours, like however long it was going to take. That was really stressful. So when I saw they were doing the boarding groups, I thought, you know what, we're going to get there as early as we possibly can. We'll get in a boarding group as soon as we get there. Whatever happens, happens. We got all day, you know, so that kind of took some of the weight off. But we met a couple in line for the Skyliner who were really cool. We were talking to them about Rise of the Resistance and everything. We ended up, like, long story short, we ended up spending the entire day with them. And then we had breakfast the next morning with them. They had kids too that they had left at home with grandma. So we had similar experiences. But I mean, it was super cool. They were really nice. Like, it was just really fun to meet somebody who, like, we actually had a connection with, and then to literally spend the entire day with them was really fun. But so we all got on the Skyliner, took it to Hollywood Studios. All four of us were in boarding group 44, which, come to find out, was a really good boarding group to be in because I think they went out to 147.
Holy by like moly.
8:30. I think at 8:30 they were out of boarding groups and they went out to like 147. By the end of that day, they'd only gotten to 120. So Everybody in those last 20-something boarding groups was just out of luck. They got a fast pass that they could use on Rise the next day and a free park hopper ticket.
But still, like, if that's your last day,
if we hadn't gotten to do it, we would have been out of luck. Like, we got lucky, man. So we got there, we got in our boarding groups, and then we just kind of did stuff. You know, we went and got coffee. We rode Slinky Dog again that morning. We rode Star Tours. We, like, rode Smuggler's Run again. All, you know, like, no stress, no pressure. We had lunch.
Well, because you knew when it was time for your boarding, that's when you were going to head over there. And until then, Might as well do other things, right?
It was so good. Yeah, totally no pressure, no stress. Walked around, did some shopping. Totally good. I am a huge fan of the boarding group, you know, way of doing stuff like that. But about noon, we got the message that we could go back and get on Rise of the Resistance. And we got back there. They scanned our magic band, got in. We waited probably 20 minutes in line in the attraction. And then we were on it.
Which is just ridiculous.
Yeah. Yeah. So the boarding group way that they did it was incredible. Because, yeah, we walked around Hollywood Studios, did whatever we wanted all morning, and then had maybe a 20 to 30 minute wait. And then we were on this attraction that's, you know, brand new. And while I will not say anything about the ride, I will say that our go through went off without a hitch. There were no hiccups. We did not get evacuated off the attraction. Nothing bad happened. Everything went off without a hitch. And apparently we learned when we got off, there was an Imagineer that rode it with us. There were a lot of Walt Disney Imagineers at the exit of the ride, because again, this is the first time that this ride has opened in the world. And so there were a lot of people from WDI sitting at the end of the ride. And apparently one of the designers of Rise of the Resistance rode the ride with us. And he was super jazzed because, like, all of our reactions to everything made him very happy. So he made a point to tell us, like, y'all's reactions were great. I loved riding this with you. And we were like, who are you? And he told us, you know, he was the guy who designed it. So that was pretty cool.
And then you got a picture with him.
Nope.
My dude.
Dude, I can't stress enough how, like, I couldn't think straight for like an hour and a half after this thing. It's the greatest attraction. Like, it's the greatest ride I've ever been on. And so, like, I was not thinking about taking pictures with anyone. I was trying to comprehend what I had just done.
Just trying to take it all in.
Yeah. I mean, it's like, it's so good. It's worth, honestly, it's worth like going for a weekend. Like, if you can go to Disney like on a Friday and stay through Sunday, it's worth the trip, because I can't say anything without saying something. You know what I mean? So
sure.
It's worth doing.
Just
it's
go
worth making
and do it.
A special trip and doing. I mean, it's something that is really, it would be really hard to even kind of capture the attraction just by talking about it, you know? Like, it's something you really have to do and experience. But they had a whole bunch of merch, and I did buy a mug. So I did buy a Rise of the Resistance mug to commemorate my ride.
So is it like one of the Tervis metal ones or whatever?
Yeah, it's a cool metal mug. It's not a Tervis one, but yeah, it is metal. And it's green, and it's just got one side just has the Rebel logo on it, like debossed. And then the other side has a thing that says, a sticker that says Join the Resistance. But it's a nice mug. I keep it at work for my afternoon coffees. But
oh yeah, that's a very nice mug.
Yeah. Oh, are you looking at it?
I am. I just, you know, go to eBay and type in Rise of the Resistance mug.
Mm-hmm. That's a good mug. And then, like, there's a... So this is not a spoiler, but what's his name? Poe Dameron's X-Wing is there. And then there's another Rebel X-Wing when you exit. So it's pretty cool. They're full size. They're life size X-Wings just hanging out. It's pretty sweet. So we, after Rise, Claire and I went and rode Tower again.
Mm-hmm.
And then we went back to the hotel for a little bit because we had California Girl reservations that night. And so we were very, very tired, and we just kind of took it easy for a little while before dinner.
Which I'm assuming, since this is your best day ever, was a not bad experience?
No, yeah. California Girl was awesome. We went over to the Contemporary, checked in, did the same thing you did, where we said, can we sit on the window? And they said, we got there 30 minutes before a reservation and asked, you know, can we sit on the window? The lady said, yeah, it might be 45 minutes to an hour, you know, to wait. And I said, that's fine, you know, whatever. So we went over to, what's the bar called? The Outer Rim. We went over to the Outer Rim, and we were going to get drinks. And as soon as we had ordered our drinks, I got the text that said, your table's ready. So I had to, like, run over to the bartender and be like, 86 of those drinks, our table just, you know, got ready. And we ran back over to the desk and went up. And we weren't on a window like you were on a window. Like, you had the best seat in the house. We were near a window and could see the Magic Kingdom just fine. But
better than not at a window at all, right? Or
yes. Oh, most definitely. We just, like, you still have the record for best seat at California Grill.
Well, you know, that is a can't be beaten sort of record right there. I mean, and I'm not saying that is like, woohoo, go me, but like, yeah, when you're at right at that window that's facing the Magic Kingdom, I don't think there's a better seat in that house. So
yeah. So Claire got the filet and I got the Angry Dragon roll, which I'd never gotten sushi there before. It was really good, and it was really a lot of food too for relatively small money. Like, I think Claire's filet was $60 and that sushi roll was $28.
That's a really reasonable deal for California Girl, dude.
I know, yeah. And it was a lot. And it was like, there was one sushi roll that was more, but it was $29. Like, they don't have sushi over $30 there. And so, I was extremely happy. I was full. It was, the sushi roll I got had barbecue, eel, tuna, two tempura shrimp that were on either side of it, and then, you know, like nori and rice and other stuff. But it was really, really good, and it was really spicy, and I was a big, big fan.
Man, now I need some sushi. It's a good thing that I don't live in like a landlocked small town or anything.
Yeah. But so that was really good, and then we had an hour before fireworks, and so we went downstairs, did some shopping. And on our way, when we were waiting in line to go back up the elevator for fireworks, guess who was it? Guess who was going up to eat at California Grill? Art Smith. Saw him again. And was way too embarrassed, as if he would even recognize us as someone who had been stupid the first time. Could not even get, you know, like my courage up to even say hello to him. But he was there making jokes.
Are we talking like you guys were down at the bottom at the same time, or did you ride the elevator with him?
We did not ride the elevator.
Okay. Because no. I'm like, if you rode the elevator with him and still avoided him, that was just going to be too much for me.
There was a big line of people waiting to get back up to the California Grill.
Yeah, the whole being able to come back is not a secret to people at this point.
He emerged from another elevator with somebody else and walked by and said, "Lord Jesus, what's happening at the California Grill?" Which was pretty funny. And then he walked over to the desk and kind of pulled the "Do you know who I am?" card. He said, "Yeah, I want to, you know, I like a table." And the lady asked him if he had a reservation, and he said no. And she said, "Well, I don't, you know, it's by reservation only." And he said, "Go ahead and tell him it's Chef Art Smith. Thanks, Chelsea." I'll never forget it. I'll never forget her name. He said, "Tell him it's Chef Art Smith. Thanks, Chelsea." So I guess she did.
I need to know, was there an air of superiority to him, or was it just how it is?
It was just how it is. He wasn't like, "Look, you idiot, you know, do you know who I am?" He was just like, so, "They'll know."
So not the looking down my nose, "Thanks, Chelsea."
No.
Okay.
No, it was just
because
like,
that would ruin my impression of Art Smith.
No.
Okay.
Yeah, it was "They'll know who I am upstairs. Like, you are incorrect in saying that there are no tables available."
I promise you there's one. Just let them know who it is and let's see how this plays out.
Yeah. And so we got upstairs, and as we were sitting or standing outside waiting for the fireworks to start, he came up and had a table and stuff. So
could have been your perfect opportunity to sit down for second dinner with Art Smith, Jeremy.
Yep. Yeah. Well, if I had known, I would have made our dinner reservations. I would have taken those 915s you found to try and let us see Fantasmic again.
I did try to help you out there.
Which Brad is a very good friend. He did, after I texted him and told him that Fantasmic died, he did say, "Well, there's a 915 California Grill tomorrow, so you can try to see it again." And had I known Art Smith was going to be there, I probably would have taken him, but didn't know.
It would probably be weird, though, when you said, "Can I sit near the Art Smith?"
I heard Chef Art Smith is here. Right. Can I sit near him? I heard him say his name downstairs. But yeah, no, California Grill was really good. The fireworks are almost better, I think, from the viewing platform, because you kind of get a sense of depth for, like, the fireworks that seem like they're shooting them directly out of the castle are actually being fired out of, like, way behind the park. And you can't really see that from inside the Magic Kingdom. So like the perimeter fireworks were very interesting from up there. I feel like they do more of them in this Minis, you know, super awesome, whatever Christmas time fireworks thing, whatever they call it. But Yeah, it was pretty interesting to see like exactly where all the fireworks are shot from and how far away they are.
So, but now when you were actually at the Christmas party, you got to do the fireworks in there.
Yes. And you, yeah, we were in the hub.
So was there enough castle stuff that it would be more worthwhile to like
a lot of the stuff that I thought was castle stuff wasn't.
So I guess I mean projection.
Oh my gosh. We didn't talk about the castle projection. I'm not into castle projection really. I didn't like, I'm a bad person to ask about whether it was cool or not, or if there was enough of it. Cause I don't really care about it or like it that much, but this was the first time I've been there where they've been projecting on the castle. And you know, those projectors are on top of the main street buildings.
Mm-hmm. Well, some of them are up there. Some of them are down. Like, they're all over the place. There's a lot of projectors.
But there are projectors that are projecting onto the castle. There's like six of them.
Mm-hmm.
And they're on top of the main street buildings with what I can only assume is the brightest lamp in existence on the longest lens in existence, because holy cow, that is really far. And I was just like, immediately, like, I don't care about the castle projections, but I was trying to figure out how the heck they're doing that.
But you were nerding out big time on those projectors.
Oh my gosh. Yes. It's crazy. I don't understand that at all. And unfortunately, the projectors are all in black boxes because, you know, obviously they have to be weatherproof.
Mm.
But you can't really see the length of the lens or what brand projector they are or anything like that. So that was kind of a bummer. But man, I was really impressed.
Yeah, if you wanted to know anything like that, you'd probably have to ask an Imagineer. Shame you didn't get a chance to see any of those.
Hey, this new ride you've been working on for years was super fun. But let me ask you, how do you do those castle projections in the Magic Kingdom?
What's the focal length on that lens?
Yeah.
How many lumens does that bulb put out?
That had to be 100,000 lumens. With how bright it is on the project on the castle, it's got to be 100,000 lumens.
It's all the lumens. That's how many.
Yes,
it is.
Just
all the lumens.
Every lumen in existence.
That's right. So fireworks were good from California Grill.
Yes. Yes, they were good. There's a lot more perimeter fireworks than I remember from Wishes.
Now, are you talking about Wishes normal or the holiday Wishes?
It would be the holiday Wishes.
Okay.
Those would be the only ones I've ever seen.
Well, because I was about to say, because there were no... Well, yeah, I'm just going to go ahead and say, quote me on it. There were no perimeter fireworks on normal Wishes. It was only on, like, Hallow Wishes and whatever the Christmas Wishes was called.
I think it was just called Christmas Wishes. Krishes. It was Krishes, for
yep,
sure.
Absolutely. That is definitely how I remember it. So yeah, the only Hallow Wishes and Krishes. With those perimeter fireworks. So, and thus ended your greatest day ever.
Yeah, it was really good. Really, really, really good fun day. And then Friday morning we got up and in our tradition went to Kona and got Tonga toast and that delicious French press of actual Kona coffee. That's so good. So good. And then we went and stood in, we went to the Magic Kingdom.
Did you get a bag of coffee on the way out? I was hoping you were going to send me some of that Kona coffee as a Christmas gift or something.
Yeah, that would have been really nice of me, wouldn't it?
Hint, hint.
Hang on, I'll be back in 30 hours. But we went to the Magic Kingdom because we had to be on Tragical Express at like 1:30. So we went to Magic Kingdom, basically waited in the like a 70-minute standby line for Seven Dwarfs Mine Train. Rode that one last time, went and bought some souvenirs, and then headed out. And that was it. Unfortunately, Tragical Express gets you to the airport like 3 hours before your flight. And even at MCO, it doesn't take 3 hours to get through security. And so we had plenty of time to just sit in the airport and go, man, we could have taken the next Tragical Express.
Yeah, but they don't let you do that. And if you try to, they get real mad.
But that was it, man. That was the trip. As far as non-Disney things went, our flights were both very good. no delays, got parking pretty cheap at the Austin airport. Our bags didn't get lost.
So a nondescript trip, which is exactly the kind of trip you want to take.
Yep.
So, question.
Okay.
Pandora or Batu?
Batu. No question. Like, that's not even close. Pandora is beautiful, but Batu is something else.
And did you do both of them after dark?
Yes.
And still Batu, huh?
Yep. And Pandora, again, is beautiful. I would say Pandora is more beautiful than Batu. But Batu is so much more of a land. I was never taken aback by Pandora the way that I was at pretty much every turn with Batu. Like every turn when there was something new, as we were walking through that marketplace area where Oga's is and stuff, it was just every single thing that there was to see was breathtaking and just like a brand new thing that I'd never seen before. And Pandora, again, is extremely beautiful. And especially at night when the ground glows and stuff, is very, very cool. But, I mean, it's just, it doesn't hold, for me, it does not hold a candle to what they did in Galaxy's Edge.
So, you're going to start saving your pennies now for your Star Wars hotel, right?
Huh, man, I would love to.
Just, this is my thought process. Think about what happened on Batu and just imagine if you were able to just immerse yourself in that for a couple of days.
I will say that I am much more excited and willing to make compromises to be able to do the Galactic Star Cruiser now that I have seen Galaxy's Edge than I was before. Because now that I've seen what they can do, I'm very, very interested in that experience.
Yeah, you may want to go ahead and add nickels and dimes to your saving, because you do want to get there before the building crumbles. So
yeah, what were they saying? $600 a night, so probably $1,500 to do that experience on top of 5 more days at a hotel. Oof.
Yeah, it's all just money.
Yeah, that's true.
I'm glad you guys got time away. I'm glad you got to see everything new. And I'm actually glad Rise of the Resistance opened when it did. So that way, you know, you didn't go and then immediately have that new thing that you didn't get to try yet.
Right.
Even if there were still plenty of, you know, you still got to go try the that new restaurant in Epcot. Like, there's always new things to do. And you got to go ride an alien U-Haul ride at some point. So
okay.
I like it. You always leave yourself a little something.
Yeah. That'll do it for this episode. You can follow us on Twitter at MTM Podcast. You can like us on Facebook at facebook.com/MTM Podcast. You can visit us on the web at missingthemouse.co. We'll be back next week with a brand new episode. And until then, have a magical day.